Let's play a brand new edition of Posted and Toasted.
It's time for
Posted and Toasted.
And Posted and Toasted is brought to you by the Rothenberg Law Firm. Injured? Visit InjuryLawyer.com and Princeton Longevity Center. Experience the power of personalized medicine. This post is actually a recent one from January 11th, 2025. Who leaves the Chargers first? Justin Herbert or Jim Harbaugh? Is that Sean Morash, Pete Hoffman, Craig Carton, or Greg Giannotti?
Well, now I got to know all these other names.
Yeah, we got a lot of people around here.
I got new people I got to think about.
I mean, Hoff you used to work with.
I know.
Craig's been around for a million years. It ain't that complicated.
Tell me the names again.
I forgot. Sean Morash, Pete Hoffman, Craig Carton, and Greg Giannotti. Who leaves the Chargers first, Justin Herbert or Jim Harbaugh?
That was Craig Carton.
You're wrong. Pete Hoffman.
Hoffman wrote that. The
questionnaire.
Why would he say that? Why would he care?
I think he thinks the Chargers are on their way to just charging for the next few years.
Okay, but why does he care about the Chargers?
He's a sports fan.
I know he's a sports fan, but he's an East Coast sport fan. I said Craig because he did national for a couple of years.
By the way, my answer to that question would be Jim Harbaugh. Like, I think that when you have a franchise quarterback, even if that franchise quarterback underachieves over and over and over and over again,
right,
which Justin Herbert has, you're never in a rush to get rid of them. So Justin Herbert will outlast Jim Harbaugh.
I think you're right, because Jim also doesn't feel like the guy who's going to throw his guy under the bus and say, we can't win with you, get us somebody else.
You know, honestly, if he was ever going to do that, he had that opportunity a few years ago when J.J. McCarthy was in the draft, and Jim obviously coached him in college,
yep,
spoke up about him a lot during the draft process, and he very well could have traded Justin Herbert and drafted J.J. McCarthy. He didn't do it. This one is from January 3rd, 2016. Jim Harbaugh is a thinner version of Rex Ryan, choke artist in a big spot, completely overrated. Is that Craig Carton, Sean Morash, Evan Roberts, or Tommy Lugauer?
That's Tommy.
You're whipping out an sound effect?
You can't find the you're wrong?
You're wrong.
I can't find the you're wrong. This isn't built to run two things at once. We're flying by the seat of our pants.
So that's Craig?
No, you're wrong. Sean Morash.
What?
Yeah.
Teaching lab.
You're not.
My fat ass.
You're not a big fan of Jim Harbaugh?
No. Was never. Always thought he loses all these big games. Now, I think he made the Super Bowl after that, which kind of crushed me. Also wasn't his fault that the 49ers fumbled all of themselves versus the Giants. I was probably unfair, but you know what? It's aging well.
It is. This one is from January 9th.
Except for the national championship at the University of Michigan.
Oh, it's college. Come on, we can't count that.
That doesn't count. I agree with him.
This one is from January 9th, 2026. I'm grinding. I'm eating right. I'm sleeping right. Recovering. They can call me a lot of things, but they'll never be able to say I'm fat. Is that person Al Dukes, Evan Roberts, Keith McPherson, or Jerry Recco? I named all the skinny people.
I know. That's you, Evan.
No? Am I really grinding and eating right and sleeping right?
I don't know. It just sounds something you tweet just to make yourself feel better.
Now, the answer is Keith McPherson.
Of course.
KM to AM.
Yeah. He'll never, ever be fat. I agree. By the way, looking at his body, he'll never be fat. There are people who will eventually be fat like myself. I'm probably on my way to being fat. In fact, I may qualify as fat. We could let the YouTube audience decide that, since my belly jiggles all the time. So I think when you watch on YouTube, and I don't know if you know this, we're on YouTube now all the time.
I do know that.
I think people can comment. So the comment question I would ask the people in the YouTube chat is, am I fat?
Your desk blocks your belly.
Oh, all right.
So you're good.
I'm going to try to show my belly. This is my belly. As I hit it, am I fat? Or am I skinny fat? My friends used to call me skinny fat, which I don't think...
That's what it is.
Like, you're skinny and you're scrawny,
You're skinny fat and Sean is fit fat.
Either way, fat is still the arrival point.
And finally, our final tweet in Posted and Toasted. This one is also a recent one. This one is from January 11th, 2026. In response to the Ben Johnson F the Packers video, this person tweets, remember when Tom Landry would do this after winning a wild card game? Me neither. Coaches used to have class. Now everybody just throws F-bombs around. Total losers. Go paint your quarterback's fingernails.
Wow. Tiki's eyes lit up on that.
And by the way, this tweet is what they call viral. It has gone absolutely viral. I'm not even giving you hints. Who at this radio station tweeted that?
Gio?
You think Gio is angry about Ben Johnson saying F the Packers?
I don't know. Who's a Packer fan here?
So you think about things so wrong sometimes.
What else would it be?
It's just a football fan making an observation.
This is you?
The answer is Al Dukes.
A nice round
Why would he care? I think he was bothered by Ben Johnson screaming F the Packers.
Why? It's a division rival.
Well,
we would say that about the Eagles.
I agree with you.
They say that about us, I am positive. We certainly say it about the Cowboys and vice versa.
I agree with you.
So why are you aggrieved by this? Especially when you're not a fan of either team.
Well, first of all, I'm not aggrieved by it, but I think Al Dukes was representing a lot of people, usually older people, usually the get off my lawn people.
Okay, but why is he judging Caleb Williams because his nails are painted?
Yeah, that part was just like an extra jab.
Yeah, by the way, the nail painting jokes went out the window when he made that pass on fourth down.
100%.
But Ben Johnson did get a lot of crap from fans out there about the F the Packers stuff. Mm. And not only that, the comments he's made about LaFleur. And to the point where yesterday at his press conference, Ben Johnson was asked, not about Al Dukes' tweet specifically, but about the criticism of him screaming F the Packers, which is what he did. So even if you don't agree with Al, and I don't agree with Al either, it's gone to enough places where at his press conference, when the Bears are preparing for another round of the postseason, he's being asked about saying F the Packers. Now, before I play the clip, any guess on Ben? Do you think he apologizes? Do you think, hey, yeah, maybe I use salty language?
I don't know if he apologizes, but he says, I'm sorry that if I offended anybody.
You're going with a sorry if you were offended?
Yes.
Now, keep this in mind.
Which is a non-apology.
You're right. Keep this in mind. The owner of the Bears doesn't like cursing, and I think mentioned that on Hard Knocks, didn't want there to be a lot of F-bombs. So when Ben was asked about this yesterday, the owner was cited as, hey, you know, I don't know how if the McCaskey family is that thrilled about this.
Hey, you coach you own a football team, dude. Are you serious?
Tito's getting very bothered by this.
Do you know how much cursing there is in a football locker room?
I understand.
Around a football organization?
Yes.
Okay, whatever.
Here is Ben Johnson's response to the question about saying F the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, there's a rivalry that exists between these two teams, something that I fully recognize and I'm a part of. And, yeah, I mean, I don't like that team. So George and I have talked, and we're on the same page.
So no apology. And basically, F the Packers.
I have said I'm not a big Ben Johnson fan. I love that answer. One critique.
What's that?
He should have said at the beginning when he said, like I said, he should have said, like I said, F the Packers.
Right. Yes.
He should have just repeated it. But to clean it up, because it is a press conference and because it's the middle of the day, he didn't have to say the word. He could have just said F, like the letter.
Yeah, right, right.
F the Packers. But I have no issue with this. And I think that the people that do tend to be on the older side.
Mm-hmm.
And they also tend to be on the side of forgetting history. Like, I'm pretty sure Tom Landry dropped an F-bomb.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
And I think there's a damn good chance.
Just because he wore a suit on the sideline and looked the part of a classic head coach doesn't mean he wasn't cussing at those dudes.
Right. And it also doesn't mean, even though we had access, because NFL Films has been around for a while, so yes, we have access to these legendary coaches, we don't have the same access that we have now.
Right.
And there is a famous clip from 2000. Hate to bring up salty wounds, but it doesn't involve you. When the Ravens beat the Titans in the postseason, head coach Brian Billick, and I'm pretty sure he was screwing around when he said this, at the end of his speech, and everybody was filming it, he said, all right, guys, now put the cameras away. I want every camera away. All right. F the Titans! And everybody goes nuts. And I think it was like a non-kinda,
yeah,
a wave.
Right.
Or a wink, whatever that is.
A wink.
Yeah, I have it. So I don't think this is new. And I think that to Ben Johnson's credit, this is a rivalry. And I think what we want as fans is for coaches and players to feel the same anger that we all have. And there's no doubt that Bear fans hate the Packers, just like you guys hate the Eagles, just like I hate the Patriots and the Dolphins and the Bills. And it would warm my cockles to hear my coach or my players repeatedly say, bleep the Patriots. That would make me happy. In fact, Francisco Lindor, if you're out there, I know you're working out, getting ready for the start of the season. If you want to say F the Dodgers or F the Phillies, I'm good with it. Marcus Semien, you're the newest New York Met. You want to ingratiate yourself to us? Just say F the Phillies. Like, we all want that as fans. So I think Ben Johnson's cool. But congratulations to Al Dukes, because not only was that a viral tweet, it clearly pissed off Tiki.
It didn't piss me off. Just kind of, I don't know why he cares. It bothers me that he cares.
I kind of want, maybe tomorrow, you to go up to Al during one of the commercial breaks.
And say, and why do you care?
Confront him about the tweet, and I want to film it. I want to watch a Tiki Barber, Al Dukes, off air, they don't know I'm filming, argument about Ben Johnson dropping the F word. On air won't be as good. It has to be like in the newsroom, like, I don't really know I'm filming. And of course, after the fact, I would tell you and Al that I was filming.
Right.
Of course, I couldn't keep it secret forever. Anyhow, good job, Sean. Maybe next time you'll get the sound effects better.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe next time I will.
Let's go to Rob in New London, Connecticut. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Evan, Tiki. How's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
That's good.
Hey, not too much. Hey, Tiki, real quick. So the best game you ever played, in my opinion, was that 2002 Philadelphia Eagles game. And the funny story is I found out about it. My mother had to write me a letter, and I was at Recruit Training Command Great Lakes. So, well done. You had a great game.
Oh, that's cool.
Actually had to watch that game. Yeah, I had to watch that game a month later on a VCR back in the day when they actually had VCRs.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. There's sub-25-year-olds that are like, what's a VCR?
Right. And so, Evan, I have good news for you, Evan. You could always be a lot fatter. I think you look great. So, you know, you look great. Joe Shane, I know he gets a lot of crap, but the reason why I think this is a really great job, the salary cap, whatever, it's in the mid, but it's the dead cap situation. We're like tied for first in the league.
Right.
We have the best dead cap situation in 30 years. And next year we have, what, $112 million in cap space. The following year for 2028, we have $236 million in cap space. We have no bad contracts on the books right now.
Right, so and that's what matters.
Good.
And that's what matters, Rob. Appreciate your call. Because when you think about signing a free agent, forget the rookies because that's just allocated and based on where when you're picking. But if you're signing a free agent, you're not lumping every bit of his guaranteed money into year one. It's a 3-4 year deal that's going to be spread out over the length of the contract, which means in year 2, 3, 4, the Giants will have so much more room because they're not worried about, like, 2 years from now being in a bad cap situation. 2 years from now, they're in a great cap situation. So you can sign whoever you want right now. I think it's a little bit overblown how bad the cap feels right now for the Giants. I think it mattered during this regular season and probably it explained why they didn't make very many moves, even practice squad moves during the regular season because their cap situation was bad.
Let's go to Andy in New Haven. Hey, Andy.
Good. I was almost at afternoon, as of course I had to get out. Good morning, gentlemen. It's good to talk to you in this new slot.
Likewise. What's up, Andy?
It's funny, the Tiki and Al Dukes thing, it's funny. I remember I called you guys the day after Election Day a few months ago, and we hypothesized about what would be the best duel of political candidates from WFAN,
hosts,
or adjacent.
That's right.
And it was Tiki versus Al Dukes, I think this would be great fodder for the debate.
I agree.
So I guess I had a question. I'll couch my question like this. Over time, as a fan, I've kind of, you know, started vendettas against certain players because of decisions that they've made in free agency or whether or not to enter the draft. And two come to mind in particular, and they really couldn't have gone any different directions. The first of which was Shohei Ohtani. Mm-hmm. When he decided to not join the Yankees, I was like, I will never support this guy for as long as he is an active or inactive MLB player, really under any circumstance. That one, I guess maybe I have a little bit of egg on my face. The other one was Justin Herbert when he decided to not enter the draft, when it kind of seemed like he was going to be the Giants draft pick. And I was just like so offended by it at the time. I was in college. I was very irrational. But I remember kind of thinking that at the time. And I guess my question is, and if I have time, I have a question. Really, I guess, okay, hold on. I'll do it this way. Evan, I'm curious if you have any animosity or your sentiment towards Sam Darnold. Like, if he wins a Super Bowl as obviously not a member of the Jets, is that like a proud dad moment, or is that like a UMF-er moment? And then my question about Justin Herbert is, where does he go from here? Like, is he cooked, or what is the prognosis for Justin Herbert, who I really don't like, but he just seems to not be able to figure it out under any situation?
Yeah, look, he's a good kid, and I think his desire to be great is there. But like, he keeps getting these weird little bang-ups, like his hand, and which he did twice, because I think he did it again, and he played with it. And those things aren't a big deal, especially because it's his non-throwing hand, but it just makes it a little bit harder to be your best self. I think the other and the bigger issue is that they haven't put like Pro Bowl players around him in the last couple of years. And he had a bad coach 2 years ago. Jim Harbaugh fixes that, obviously. But it's not been an ideal situation for him. It almost feels like that conversation we have when we talk about young quarterbacks. The situation's got to be good. Head coach has got to be right. The coordinator's got to be right. You got to have talent around them. Otherwise, you end up underachieving. Trevor Lawrence is the perfect example. Things got right around him, and look at the great season that he had. So it's circumstance. I like him as a player. I think circumstance has prevented him from being one of the best players.
Yeah, I mean, right now, Justin Herbert is good. But we expected him to be great.
Yes.
And he's not going to be able to make that jump until, like you said, there's better talent around him and he elevates his own game. So what's next for Justin Herbert? Nothing. He's going to be a Charger. He's going to be there for a long time. Hopefully, for his sake, they get better. I mentioned to you yesterday, they need to win a division. Mm-hmm. Not because L.A. is such a great home field advantage, but because going on the road on wild card weekend is not easy. Right. It's not an ideal environment to go to Foxborough and try to beat the Patriots. So what's next for Justin Herbert is nothing crazy. Like, the Chargers are going to continue to grind, and hopefully for their sake they get better. Sam Darnold, it's weird. I like Sam Darnold. I was excited when they drafted him. I always believed in Sam Darnold. I wasn't exactly in favor of them getting rid of him. My attitude was, it's a new administration. I know they're getting rid of him, but I was certainly not against trading down with that pick and trying to put more talent around Sam. With that said, do I want Sam Darnold to win a Super Bowl? No. Am I going to be a proud dad if he does? No. But I'm also not sitting there actively rooting against him. So, like, when I sit down this weekend and it's Sam Darnold against the San Francisco 49ers, I'm probably going to be more of an IFO than I am as a fan. So while I'm not actively rooting for him to win a Super Bowl, it's not like Rodgers or the Patriots or the Bills where I'm sitting there actively rooting against him. And keep this in mind about Sam. It's not as if he instantly succeeded when he left the Jets. He went to Carolina.
Right.
He sat in San Francisco. It's the Vikings that should probably regret losing Sam Darnold more than anybody else.
Kevin O'Connell did a great job with him. Turned him into, I think, or helped him reach his potential. And then moved on because whoever's idea it was, whether it was him or Questy's idea to draft a quarterback, it made him expendable. And you're stuck with J.J. McCarthy, who there's still a question mark going to his third year.
One, big time.
One, because of his first year missing the entire season and being injured. But this year, he was underwhelming for a lot of it.
Wouldn't stun me if they went after a veteran.
I 100% agree.
David is in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hey, David.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm the guy who said last week, and I wear the L, that it was a mortal lock that Harbaugh was going to Miami.
Yes. Yes.
And, okay, so, Tiki, I absolutely love you as a player, as a broadcaster, everything else. But you said something earlier that I absolutely have to push back on. I've been a Giant fan since 1970.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that the fans kind of feel like it's their team and they blame Chris Mara for, even though they don't know Chris. That's not what it is.
Go ahead.
99.9% or more are working people, okay?
Of course.
And let me tell you what working people hate more than anything else. Nepotism. Nepotistic management. And John Mara and Wellington Mara have been terrible CEOs. Awful. The all five Super Bowls you can trace to one decision. Pete Rozelle telling John Mara, you got to take George Young because we're not going to have this situation go on any longer. And George Young put those teams together, and he mentored Ernie Accorsi. And Ernie Accorsi and George Young were the two best things that ever happened to the Giants, and those decisions were thrust on him.
Right.
John Mara had the same – Wellington Mara had the same inept general manager for like 20 years. Before I think Andy Robustelli came in, but the thing about dynastic wealth people, and I, as a business journalist for 40 years covering business and politics, I've seen this a million times. Dynastic managers don't hire for competence; they hire people they like and who are loyal to them,
mm-hmm.
because they never know who their real friends are, so they don't hire people for competence. That's why Giant fans are so pissed. By any measurement, independent measurement, Joe Shane should have been fired. If it was another kind of a company, he would have been fired by now already, plain and simple, because he's a failure as a general manager.
He's a failure because of his record, not because of who he's
picked.
But I could argue, and we had this conversation 2 weeks ago or a week ago, so many of these Giant losses are not on the general manager. They're not on the talent on the field. It's on the decisions that the coaching staff has made. And it's the Denver Broncos is the perfect example. It's the 3rd and 5 deciding to throw the ball instead of following every competent metric or statistic to run the ball, force the other team to use their final timeout, force them to go the length of the field to make it a one-score game. It's a 2-score game at that point. There's no chance you lose that game. And the Giants throw an interception with a rookie quarterback. Whose decision was that? Right? That's whose fault it was. It wasn't because the Giants missed on Evan Neal three years ago. I can't help but separate what individuals' jobs are. Joe Shane's job, and I'm going to say he's done a fantastic job, but his job is to put talent on this team. The coaching's job is to win games, sometimes that you're not supposed to win, by making great decisions. And the Giants haven't had that.